to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, June 19th, 2022, by Eric Williams.
So we thought for Sam's baptism it'd be nice to have a gospel reading about demon possession. I actually want to focus a little more on our first reading because it speaks to me in my spiritual life right now. We have to step back a little bit and remember the story of Elijah, the greatest of the prophets of the Hebrew Bible, Elijah, who was at intense conflict with the rulers of his time, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, whom the biblical writers called the absolute worst. I mean, they had a whole list of the kings who were the bad ones, but at the bottom of any list was Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel, who worshipped pagan gods, was a pagan priestess as well as a princess. She had lured Ahab away from his faith, and she had made it her business to round up all of the faithful prophets of God and kill them. And so now we meet Elijah at the very low point of his life. He has just entered into a huge conflict, the showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he has prevailed. God showed up and destroyed the prophets of Baal, but Jezebel, infuriated, has put a price on his head, and he is literally running for his life. He finds himself far from home in a deserted place, and he is mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted. He has just had it. He says to God, "You might as well just kill me now because I'm done." I felt like that a few times over the past few years, dealing with conflict and, you know, catastrophe after catastrophe. Of course, we continue to pray for the Episcopal Church in Alabama, where there was a shooting last week. We pray for the people of Ukraine who continue to endure unimaginable suffering. We pray for the people still afflicted with long COVID and with the issues from the pandemic, and on and on and on, right? I could list 25 things that we need to pray for and that just get inside our minds and make us feel almost hopeless sometimes. Where is this going to end? How are we going to survive? So I think Elijah is the perfect man for this moment. There he is, feeling completely exhausted and defeated. And he says, "God, I'm done. What more can I say?" Well, sometimes, you know, we can't solve all the problems of the world, but sometimes in our own lives, in our own hearts and minds, there are some simple things that can make a huge difference. I was reading online a very humorous take on this story, which I found actually kind of helpful and in a way profound. It says, you know, I was thinking about when my kids were young, they were Sam's age or a little bit older, there were a couple things that would make them super cranky, right? Super cranky. And it really boiled down often to two things. They were tired and they were hungry, hangry. There's no hangry like a toddler hangry, right? Tired and hungry. Well, in a way, look what God does for Elijah. There he is feeling exhausted, and God says to him, sort of in a way, "Elijah, have a nap. Elijah, have a snack. You'll feel better. I promise." And so he does. He sleeps, and then when he wakes up, the angel has made a little meal for him, a little cake and some water. And he eats, and then he takes another nap because he's really exhausted. And then he wakes up again, and the angel says, "Better eat some more because you got some work to do." And Elijah feels better, right? Now, maybe this is on my mind because I just came from a week of vacation, and I didn't realize how depleted I had gotten. And so I had time for, in some ways, a nap and a snack and some time on the water and some time to bicycle ride and those things that are renewing for me in my life. And it makes a difference. Yes, all of the problems of the world are still there. They didn't go away just because I took a break, but I still needed to take a break. I needed that time of refreshment. Elijah needed that time of renewal and refreshment. In a way, we see in the gospel a more extreme example of a man who had been oppressed by so many problems, possessed by demons. But if you look at the symbolism, and we don't have time to do a whole Bible study right now, but there's all kinds of symbolism in this story. The word legion that's used for the demons is the word for a group of Roman soldiers. So this is also a reference to the oppression of the Roman government of that area of Galilee, right? They were a sort of a hated oppressor. And so legion, there was something demonic, according to the gospel, about the way the Romans were treating the people of that land. This was a man who also was cut off from his community. He had been banished to live in the tombs. He was as good as dead. He was hanging on to life, but they said, you better just live in the tombs because to us, you are dead. And they bound him with shackles. He was oppressed in every way that you could think of. And into that man's life came Jesus, offering him, for the first time, hope, casting out the demons, and offering him a return mentally, spiritually, physically, to his community, to his life, to his sanity. He was restored. In the story of Elijah, God doesn't just give him a nap and a snack. Those are important. But he does something else for Elijah. He reminds Elijah of the most important thing about his life. And that is that while he feels completely alone, I am left and they are seeking my life. There is no more lonely feeling than Elijah in that cave. But God says, Elijah, let me remind you, you are not alone. I got you into this. And I am going to be with you. And then he reminds Elijah of one of the key messages of the Hebrew Bible, that God is not found in the things of this world, right? He gives him all these examples, the showy storm that breaks the rocks, right? People used to worship God in the storm. No, not in the storm. And then there's an earthquake. Oh, God must be in there. No, not in the earthquake. And then there's a fire. No, not in the fire. Where is God? The King James Bible, it was the still small voice. Remember that phrase? But in this better translation, it's the sound of sheer silence. God is with Elijah. God is in Elijah by the gift of his presence, by the gift of the covenant, by the gift of his calling, by the gift of the Spirit. God is with Elijah, and the nap and the snack are important, but what's really important is the presence of God, which will see him through this crisis, which will bring him back to his mission, which will give him the power and the strength and the courage and the confidence to speak and to act and to do what God has called him to do. So today, we invite Sam into this relationship with God. In a moment, we're going to pour some water on his head, whether he likes it or not. And we're going to pray that God will be with him just as God was with Elijah, will heal him when he is hurting, will feed him when he is hungry, will comfort him when he is cranky, and will bring him into the life of abundance that God has prepared for him. May his baptism be a reminder for all of us that God is with us, that God has given us everything that we need. The bread of the Eucharist for us Christians, the water of baptism, the Holy Spirit that speaks in the stillness of our hearts to remind us that we are beloved, that we are God's people, empowered to tackle anything that this world can throw at us. May that be true for Sam and for each one.